Well, good morning, Crossbridge. It is really good to be here today. I always love when I get a chance to speak, and I was thinking this is something I've never done here before, and I realize you guys are still standing. So here, I'm gonna go ahead and pray. I'm gonna play a song at the end. I just feel like that's what the Lord's calling me to do today, but let's go ahead and pray over this service today. Heavenly Father, we just come to you, and Father, I'm just so grateful to be here to share, and Father, just to fellowship with people who helped Jess and I through a season of life, and Lord, I'm just so grateful for this church and what they represent and who they are, and Lord, today I just ask that you would remove me from this message, Father, that you would just flow through me, Father, that these are your words and not mine, Father. I just love you, and I praise you, and I thank you, and we ask these things in Jesus' name, amen. You guys can be seated. So the one thing I love about going somewhere you haven't been in a while, especially if it's a church, is you see a lot of new faces, new people. Jess and I spent probably, I don't know, almost 2 years going to this church when we lived in Missouri. So we've watched it grow and we've watched it prosper. And you guys, if you're new to this church, you guys are a part of something cool here at Crossbridge Baptist, okay? And I say all that because you guys really helped Jess and I get through a season of our life that I want to say it might be one of the easiest seasons we'd ever been in, okay? And I'm going to kind of explain that today, and this really doesn't have anything to do with what I'm going to preach on, but God puts us in different seasons because when we lived in Missouri, we had it pretty good. I'm just going to be honest. My parents lived close by, just a mile down the road. So after we had Lydia, they were able to watch her, and we could go, you know, do whatever we want. You know, Jess is a nurse. She works as needed. So she would go nurse. I could go do cow stuff. If I needed to leave, I announce rodeos for those of you that don't know me. That's my full-time occupation. And I could leave whenever I wanted because I knew my parents couldn't say no, right? Just saying. Just saying. But now we live in Texas, and we don't have anybody like that. So Jess and I have been in a challenging season. It's not easy to leave. It's not easy for her to go to work. And come to find out, now that I work at the Cowboy Channel in Fort Worth, on days that she's nursing, I get to watch Lydia for a few hours in the morning. And we try not to do this very often. But thankfully, we have some neighbors who love Jesus, and their daughter does too. She comes over and watches Lydia on those days. So praise God for that. But it's funny I say that because today I'm talking about prayer, right? And that's something we prayed for as we moved to Texas. We prayed over our neighbors that they would be believers, and it just happens to be that they are, and it's very, very awesome to see. But before I get into all that, I heard a guy the other day, I guess you could say he was some kind of prophet maybe. He was talking, and this is way in the future, but and you guys are going to be really mad at me for telling you this. Way in the future, Patrick Mahomes is in heaven, okay? Yeah. Yeah. So Patrick Mahomes is in heaven, right? And he gets there and he gets up there and God says, man, you get a special house. You know, you're one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. You get a special house. So they take him over there. They show him this place. And it's pretty cool. And he said, not many people that get to heaven, they get, you know, not everybody gets their own place. But since you're Patrick Mahomes, we're going to give you one, okay? But so they go check out this house, and as they're looking at it, Patrick walks out on the back porch, and he looks just down the street. Well, there was this other house. It had an orange and blue sidewalk and had no idea. He was like, what is this? What is this? And he said, hey, God, why is there a Broncos flag flying at that house? And why is there a statue of Tim? Why does Tim Tebow get a better house than me? Like, I'm the GOAT, right? Tim Tebow never won a Super Bowl. Never did, right? So God says, well, hey, sorry, Patrick. That's not Tim's house. That's actually mine. So there you go. I had to say that. I'm a Chiefs fan, but I had to say it because it is Tebow, right? That's right. I knew I'd be welcome after that one. I knew I would be welcome. But no, today is the title of this sermon is The Power of Prayer. We will be in Luke chapter 18. I'm going to read that here in a minute. But just to give you some random facts about prayer, and I did use Google to help me look through some of these stats and statistics. But it says prayer is mentioned 650 times in the Bible, with various estimates around 650 specific prayers that are recorded. 450 of those prayers were answered. And the term pray, its own variations appear 100 times depending on the translation that you have in your hand currently, whichever Bible you have. But here's some of the facts about praying in general. It says daily frequencies, 44 to 55% of Americans pray at least once a day. Declining rates, daily prayer has dropped from 58% in 2007 to 45% in 2021. I was a little heartbroken about that statistic. But it says demographically, and men, I'm going to talk to you here in just a second. It says demographically, women are more likely to pray more than men. Those over 65 are more likely to pray daily than those under 30. So if you don't understand what I'm reading yet, we are in a prayer crisis right now as a country, as a world. We're not praying enough. And that's what, as I started looking at these stats, that's what I started to realize, that what are we doing? What exactly are we doing? Because we are called to pray without ceasing. And a study that has found the average churchgoer, now here's the really disappointing fact here, the average churchgoer, which would be all of us here today, we pray 4 to 7 minutes a day. Okay? 4 to 7 minutes. And I'm preaching to myself this morning, because a lot of times I will find myself, does anybody ever, it's called scrolling now, on social media, or just in things in general, especially like in the rodeo announcing world, I'm always, Jess is better at it than I am, that's my wife, by the way, for those of you that are new. We're borderline stalkers, that's what announcers are. We have to find information out about people, so a lot of times we are on Facebook, but then you get to scrolling, and all of a sudden you realize, like, oh my gosh, I've been doing this for 20 minutes. And I felt really, I've been really convicted of that lately. I've been trying not to do that as much and trying to stay focused, because if I can scroll for 20 minutes, what kind of prayers could be put up in 20 minutes, right? I mean, I think we could all agree on that today. But it's crazy to me, 80% of pastors pray less than 15 minutes a day. 15 minutes a day, the average pastor. And I'm going to be honest, I'm always a trendsetter. I want to be a prayer trendsetter today, okay? I want to look back on my life when it's all said and done, and I don't want to have any regrets, and I'm sure we'll have some, but I don't want this to be one of them. I want to look back and say, no, every chance I got, I prayed without ceasing. Like, we prayed for those people. We prayed for this. We prayed for that. I want that to be a part of my life. And what's funny is the more we pray, the more we get in tune with the Spirit. Because when we start praying, all of a sudden, the things that we don't understand in the Bible, which I struggle with every day, I'm from Southwest Missouri. No offense, teachers at Marshfield, but I did go to Marshfield for a season of my life. Then I went to Conway. I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, okay? Like, I'm just being honest. My English teachers told me that I would never make it in this world. And my reading teacher. And now, I'm going to make this announcement so it'll motivate me a little more. I'm in the process of writing a book. So I find it funny that those were my two weakest subjects in school, but yet somehow or another, we have these things that we can talk about through writing. But it's all because of prayer. That's what that is. It's not me writing on this page. It's prayer on a page is what it is. But I'm going to jump into Luke. Let's go ahead and jump into it. Luke chapter 18. This is one of the parables where Jesus is giving us an example. And we're going to try to make this all make sense. And I'm going to try not to keep you guys here forever, too. So, but it says in verse 1, I'm going to read the whole thing to us, starting in verse 1, going down to verse 8. It says, one day Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they would always pray and never give up. There was a judge in a certain city, and he said, who neither feared God nor cared about people. A widow of that city came to him repeatedly, saying, give me justice in this dispute with my enemy. The judge ignored her for a little while, but finally he said to himself, I don't fear God or care about people, but this woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice, because she is wearing me out with her constant request. Then the Lord said, learn a lesson from the unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him and day and night? He will keep putting them off, and I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly. But when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on earth who have faith? So the point of this parable is this lady was relentless. She was in a relentless pursuit to find justice. And there's different texts and contexts to tell you what kind of justice she was seeking. But the point of the reality is this judge didn't have to do what he did for her, okay? So we're going to kind of compare the judge to who God is, because God is completely different than this judge. And that was the point of it. He said, don't you think if this judge did this for this woman, don't you surely think God would do this for you as well? So as I jump back into this, Jesus did not give this parable to say God was unlike the just judge, but unlike him. God loves to answer our prayers. He even helps us when we pray. God is on your side when you pray, not against you, as the unjust judge was against the widow. But, you know, I think sometimes, I heard a sermon on the drive up here, actually, and it was talking about, does anybody remember ding-dong ditching at all? As a child? Okay. Yeah, my wife is looking at me like he is on another level today. So for those of you that don't know what ding-dong ditching is, you go up to a random person's house and you hit the doorbell, you count to five, and sometimes it's a contest to see how long you can stand there before you run. And your hopes is to jump into the bush and wait for whoever opens the door so they, like, step outside and look around like, and shrug their shoulders and walk back inside. That's the purpose of the game, right? It's absolutely stupid. Probably don't try it in today's world. Times have changed. But a lot of the times, that is how we treat prayer. You know, we go up to the doorbell, we hit the button, and then we wait there a few seconds, and then we are off to the next house, right? So how often are we, and I don't know where each of you guys are at. Some of you might not even know Jesus today, and if you don't know him, I pray that you would surrender your life to him because he will change it. But some of you in here are walking daily with Christ, but you are going up to the door and you're hitting the doorbell wanting God to answer this prayer. But if you really wanted him to answer, wouldn't you stand there and wouldn't you hit the doorbell until somebody came to the door? And I'm not saying that I do believe this is such a hard subject, because I do believe God answers all prayers. Now, the answers that we get may not be what we want or what we desire. And that's where the hard part is, because there's things that I've prayed for my entire life and in my career I have seen come true. There's also things that I'm still praying for that have not come true. And sometimes I ask God, like, why have these not happened? But the more I ask questions of the why, the more I understand of maybe I'm approaching this the wrong way. Maybe I'm approaching it the wrong way. But don't be a ding-dong ditcher when it comes to prayer. That's something you'll remember that forever. I mean, you know, guys don't like me saying it, but you will remember that. But too many prayers are like those boys running away. Knocks, given, and then the giver is away before the door even opens. Prayed repeatedly the same thing. However, we must guard against a persistence of unbelief, repeating prayer with an attitude that God never heard us the first time. There are several contrasts between the judge and the God who hears the prayer, because the judge was unfair, but just remember that God is fair. The judge had no personal interest in the widow, but God loves and cares for those who petition him. The judge answered the widow's cry out to pure self-interest. God loves to bless his people for the good also. And I don't have this written down. This just came to me. But I think the most important thing we can do as believers, our salvation is the most important thing that we have to Jesus. Nothing that we own, all those vehicles out in the parking lot, you're not going to have those someday when you get to heaven. All that land you guys have, all those cows you own, all the rodeos I've announced. I won't get to do any of that stuff in heaven. It's not about that. It's about salvation. It's about me spending eternity with Christ. And it's about you spending eternity with Christ. That is what this is all about. And I think sometimes we get caught up in our selfish desires when we pray for things, thinking that God is this genie in a bottle. And God is not a genie in a bottle. But as I look through some of these quotes I have, Mark Batterson's one of my favorite authors. He actually went to college. I can't even remember what it was called, the Springfield Bible College. It's over there by the fairgrounds. It's not even a college anymore. But that's where he went to school, and he pastors a church in D.C. He's written a lot of great books about prayer. And some of his quotes, it says, "Bold prayers honor God, and God honors bold prayers. And if your prayers aren't impossible to you, they are insulting to God." And that's just one part. But God won't answer, this is my favorite one, God won't answer 100% of the prayers that we don't pray. Meaning he's not going to answer those prayers unless you pray them. Right? But it's our childlike faith, not our theological vocabulary, that moves the heart of the Heavenly Father. It just takes a little bit of faith. And I just want to go through some things that we've been praying, or maybe I've prayed for in my own life that I've seen God move on. First of all, I spent most of my life praying for Jess, even though I didn't know her, praying for her. And man, Lord bless her, because I'm a lot to handle. So there was a reason it took me so long to meet her, because God was still working on my heart and he was still working on hers. But she is a testimony, a real testimony of an answered prayer. And even as far as announcing rodeos and some doors that have been open for some major places, like last year we were praying that a couple of doors would be open. And I booked my first major rodeo, and it was in Canada. It's called the Pinoca Stampede, and it is the largest rodeo I've ever announced in my whole life. And that was an answered prayer. But, you know, it's funny. We still pray for those rodeos and those doors to open, but that's the only one. So God's still working on me in my own life. But the moving to Missouri part, that's the one I want to talk about for a second. So when Jess and I first got married, she's from Wyoming. And so when we first got married, we lived up on her family's ranch, and there was just something. We didn't feel like God was calling us to stay there, but we didn't know where we were going. So we started praying that if an opportunity would arise somewhere, that we would go. And so what we began to pray for, we got really specific. We started praying for a house. Then Jess got really specific. She said, "Well, let's pray for a wraparound porch, and let's pray for this and this." So we started to do that. And wouldn't you know, our neighbor's place came available that was connected to the place we already owned in Missouri across the road from my parents. And so as soon as, and what's funny is that house didn't even hit the market, didn't even hit the real estate market. Sorry, realtors, we went behind you. But as soon as I knew that she was selling that place, I told Jess, I said, "Hey, I hope you know we're moving to Missouri." And she's like, "What do you mean?" She's like, "Well, you started praying for a wraparound porch, and my neighbor's got one. And she just called and said she wants to sell it." And she was like, "Oh, my." And I think part of Jess still wants to be in Wyoming, if we're being honest. And that's okay. But what's really funny about all this is that she was, I don't want to say she was joking about the wraparound porch, but God has a sense of humor. So as she was praying for that, God was like, "Well, here, I'll show you." And that was the only way we were moving, was that specific prayer. And I know it sounds silly, but that's just the way it happened. So then we moved to Missouri, right? We're here. We're coming to church with you guys. But there was something inside of me that said, "I don't think we're supposed to be here. But maybe Missouri was a part of the detour to get us where we're supposed to be," right? So as we started praying about this, it was almost a year ago, and I was looking in my prayer journal, and I was looking at what I was, you know, I was really just seeking God, like, "God, give us wisdom, give us discernment, give us people in our lives that are gonna corral us and show us and encourage us." And that's exactly what happened. And through all this, we found a place in Texas. So then we began to pray about this place, hadn't even looked at it yet. And we started praying, like, Lord, if we're supposed to have this place, let me step foot on the property. Because it was going to be, like, what, 2 months before we could ever go look at it, Jess? Something like that. And so we started praying that, like, Lord, if we're supposed to own this house, I want to step foot on the property. And if I get to step foot on it, then I may believe that it's supposed to be ours. And that is exactly what happened. And through a couple other events, we were able to give an offer that was way less than what they were asking, and the people took it, and now we're living in Texas, but now we're obviously dealing with new challenges. But it all revolves around prayers. Because you'll never get to where you want if you don't ask God what you're supposed to do. And you'll never get to where God wants you to go if you're not willing to step out of the boat and try to walk on the water, you know? But I think some things that we should be praying for, besides the stuff and the moving, but I pray for my marriage every day, because we live in a fallen world, and the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy every single day. And I pray for his protection around my marriage. When I'm going to a rodeo, when Jess is at home by herself, I pray for safety and mercy upon our family. I pray for Lydia's salvation. She'll be 2 years old in July. We've already been praying that she would come to know Christ one day. We've already been praying for her husband. And I hope that prayer's not already been answered, because there's this other little kid in the nursery at the Baptist Church in Hyco named Michael who's already kissed Lydia. So, and I'm not happy about it. So, we may pump the brakes on that one for just a little bit, okay? And his name's Michael. So, pray for Michael. Just saying. I don't know. We also pray for my career, because it's forever evolving. You know, opportunities, just like writing this. I never thought I'd be writing a book. That's not something that was on my radar, but it's something that God has showed me that I'm supposed to do. So in this season, I've been trying to do that. And something else that we are about to launch, and I'm launching all these things from the pulpit today, so that way people can hold us accountable. Jess and I are about to launch our own podcast, too. And what we're going to do, it's going to be a little different, but her and I are going to host it, because someone, and it's really funny, this is how God uses people. We had been talking about this for a while, and a girl that I work with at the Cowboy Channel, she told me one day, she said, you know, I don't really care what you have to say on TV. I was like, and she's joking, you got to know her. She's like, I want to hear what Jess has to say. She needs to host a show. And we had kind of been joking back and forth, like Jess and I, about starting this, and Jess is like, I'll never host a show. So we hadn't told anybody. But yet this girl that I work with says, I don't really care what you have to say, Corey. I want to hear what Jess has to say. If you guys knew her, she's way wittier than I am, so look out. But we are going to be starting a podcast, and basically our goal and vision is to share the love of Jesus on that platform. It's not going to be like our typical rodeo podcast, friends. We want to dig a little deeper. We want to dig deeper in what we're called to do and who we are and our identity. And that's what we're going to do. So I guess I'm telling you guys that to continue to pray for us in this season as we prepare to launch this. You guys are the first group to hear about it. So also we pray for people's hearts. Like I prayed for you guys today that God would move upon you, that maybe God would give you a vision beyond your wildest dreams that you're supposed to pursue and chase after. Some of you guys are in this rut, this season of your prayer life is stagnant. But I'm just here to tell you, we are called to be like this woman in Luke chapter 18. Be persistent. Have the relentless attitude. And I'm not saying just, you know, don't take no for an answer, because sometimes God will say no. He's told me no plenty of times. But through that, oftentimes, he lays something else on my heart, and that's what we're supposed to pursue. But the only way I know that is through prayer. It's through praying without ceasing. And it's always great to give thanks, to the Lord. And that's how we should start every prayer. Because if we're not careful, prayers sometimes become about us. You know, like, Lord, like, Lord, put me in this place so I can do this and then I can do this. Well, that's not what God wants. God says, okay, Lord, if you want me to go to this place, then I pray that you would prepare the way, and I pray that there's maybe some people there that need to hear about you in the process. And Lord, use me as a vessel. And maybe not, I'm not supposed to be the vessel, but maybe somebody along the way is going to be a vessel to me. We don't know what that place, what that might look like. We don't know. But we have to be in relentless pursuit as we pursue the Father and as we pray day and night. And I hope that this church, I've said this from day one, the first time I ever said anything on a Wednesday night, I said, I think revival starts now. Revival starts now. And if we have that attitude, that revival starts right now in this place, in this building, right here next to the square in Marshfield, Missouri, I don't know where you guys are going after this, but I pray that you leave here fired up and ready to go to take on evil, because we live in the most evil time in history. And evil does not stop itself. And that's why we need to be prayed up together. We need to be in this fight together. We need to be calling one another and saying, hey, I've got this on my heart. Will you help me pray for this? And what an honor it is to pray for somebody else, for somebody else's needs. Have you guys ever thought about that? Because sometimes prayer isn't about us. It's not about us at all. But I guess that's my challenge for you today. When was the last time you prayed without ceasing? You know, 1 Thessalonians 5, 16-18, it says, always be joyful, never stop praying, but be thankful in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Always be thankful, first and foremost. Be joyful. Never stop praying. When's the last time you prayed for a miracle? You know, when's the last time you truly sat down and said, my health is not good. Lord, show me what this looks like. Show me what I'm supposed to do in this season. When was the last time you were up all night praying for that one friend that doesn't know Jesus? When was the last time? When's the last time you prayed for wisdom in a situation that you were put in? Maybe not by choice, because a lot of times we're put in situations not by choice, and we have to lean on His understanding to get us through. When's the last time you prayed for wisdom? When was the last time you joined a friend in prayer? You know, that's what I love about Crossbridge, our new church in Hyco. People aren't afraid to come up to you and say, hey, can I pray for you? Or, hey, what's going on in your life? Is there something I can be praying for you about? That's awesome. That's how we all should be, even not just in the church building, but at the gas station or the feed store, wherever you may be. But this is maybe the most fun part about this. There's power in His presence, and when we ask Him to show up, there He will be. And that only happens when we ask Him, and the only way you're asking Him is through prayer. But this is the part. Some of your prayers will outlive you. And some of those prayers, you will never see the answers to. You will never see the answers. I know for a fact, my great-grandma Maxine, who passed away in, I think it was 2020. I know she prayed for that little girl back there. So her prayers are still being answered. Amen. But don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to pray some bold prayers. Don't be afraid to ask God to intervene on something that maybe just seems impossible to you. Because I'm just here to say there's nothing impossible for Him. There's nothing impossible. Jess has a friend right now who is so far away from Jesus. She's so far away. But yet, I know she prays for that girl. Every day. Every day. And I'm not standing up here to put her on a pedestal. I just know that's where Jess's heart is. And I know many of you are in that same place. But that's what I'm here to encourage you to do today. Get you a prayer journal. How many of you guys journal? Raise your hands. Okay. How many of you don't journal? Now, there you go. Making everybody else raise their hands. The one thing that changed my life besides Christ was when I got a book. Just a random book. This thing cost literally 99 cents at H-E-B, which, by the way, H-E-B is a grocery store in Texas. If y'all ever move down there, that'll be the reason you stay. 99 cents. I have, how many of these do you think I have, Jess? Like, probably 7 or 8? Start to finish, I'm about halfway through this one. I just write down random thoughts. I write down my prayers. I write down people's names. I circle them because I know that they need God to move on their life. I pray for opportunities. I pray for business deals. I pray for wisdom. I pray for our country. I pray for our president, no matter whether he's a Republican or Democrat. I pray for them because they all need Jesus. Every single one of us need Jesus. Nobody's above that. Nobody is above salvation. They need us. And you know what? They need us to pray for them, whether they want it or not, because God will intercede on our behalf. I wanted to read you guys something that was in my book here. Apparently, I just lost the page. Maybe I'm not supposed to do that now, but it was referring back to Luke chapter 18. And it was kind of, I don't want to say it was some of the first thoughts I had when I started to write this book, but I know that it was just part of the vision, because it's really fun when you start flipping back through this and you see everything that God answered, everything he's done, everything you prayed for. And every once in a while when I get discouraged, which you can ask Jess, I get discouraged a lot. And I don't say that to, but sometimes I just go pull out this book or one of these books and I flip back and be like, man, God answered that. Or, hey, we're still praying for this. Oh, hey, I need to change my approach on this one. Maybe I need to be like that widow that's knocking. Like, hey, Lord, can you hear me? Because he can. Because remember, the difference between God and that judge is God is just. The judge didn't care about people. He didn't care at all. But he said, I'm going to just grant this woman's request because she's crazy. I want to be crazy. Crazy about prayer, crazy about Jesus, and crazy about your guys' salvation. I'm going to read this to you, and then I'm going to apparently play 2 songs, maybe just one. But it's the parable of the persistent widow. This was my thoughts one day, and the purpose is to remind us not to lose heart and keep praying. And I have written, it says, men are created with a natural instinct to pray. Often prayer becomes natural, but yet obstacles come in the way of an effective and constant prayer. Jesus knew we needed a reminder not to lose hope, and this is how he encouraged us through this parable. And Jesus didn't mean that we should always be on our knees in prayer, although there are times when we should hit our knees. I believe hitting our knees in prayer shatters the movement of the enemy around us. But in this case, Jesus is telling us that we need to be in a prayer spirit. This idea was mentioned by Paul in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 when he writes, "Pray without ceasing." Have you ever wondered what praying without ceasing would look like in your own life? It's hard to imagine the supernatural things that wouldn't happen or could happen, and how many things that we would avoid in our lives if we would just ask God to intervene. I'm so thankful for this reminder because it's so easy to become discouraged and lose hope, but yet we spend countless of hours praying and asking God for his favor, but we don't feel like he can hear us. But I do believe there's always something to be learned in every situation. Now, before we go any further, let's not forget, I mentioned this earlier, God is not a genie in a bottle, and your wish is not his command. It's just a reminder that we still need to discern the things we long for, which we ultimately should long for the will of God. For the will of God. But I have to believe that as we pray, God will show up and show us his will. He does tell us to keep on asking, keep seeking, and keep knocking. Luke 11:9-10. But the beautiful thing about prayer is that prayer changes us, and it changes our hearts, and it changes our attitudes. Have you ever been in an angry mood and someone says, "Have you prayed about it?" There is nothing more humbling and annoying when someone mentions that to me. My wife Jessica does it to me all the time. But in the most frustrating parts in those moments, there's always a slight pause because she's right. I have noticed when I'm in prayer mode, things happen differently. I don't think it's because God is answering all my prayers, but I think it's because the Spirit man is following the footsteps of the Father, which is growing my faith even more. And remember, prayer is not about God changing our situation, but God changing us. It's how he changes our hearts so we can care about the same things he does. Let us not forget that our God is a righteous judge, unlike in Luke 18. Our Heavenly Father loves and cares for his children. He is kind and gracious, and ultimately he knows us. He hears us, and he loves us when we cry out to him, so we may not lose hope, so we can be persistent in praying to the creator of the universe. Now, Jeff, I don't know, I didn't ask you this, but I'm gonna play this song, and honestly, this song is awesome. It's a classic. And as I do that, can we invite people up here just to pray? Okay. So I'm going to have Mike and Jeff and the elders, if you guys want to come down. And guys, if there's something on your heart today that you need prayer, please, please, please come down here and start right now. And ask these gentlemen to pray for you. Ask these guys to pray. Because I know, like, there's a lot of heavy stuff going on in our world right now. There's a lot of uncertainty. And Ace, I'm going to steal your guitar for just a minute. Because I didn't bring mine. But as I start playing this song, let's just make this our quiet time. And let's give it to God right now. Let's just surrender to Jesus.